Friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, again, from the Gospel of St. John in the 19th chapter, a portion of that Gospel reading again. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew that your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of God. Please be seated. A pastor is summoned to the nursing home in rural Wisconsin to offer the commendation of the dying for an elderly member of the congregation who is within a day or so of the end of her life. His words and his prayers comfort her and bring peace to her and to her family, who are all gathered around for these last moments with their family matriarch. Welcome to the kingdom of God. A young mother tentatively steps foot through the front church doors of a small congregation in Kansas, seeking some assistance to pay a bill before her electricity gets shut off. The church janitor invites her in, sits with her for the better part of an hour as he listens to her tell her story. He prays with her, and then he contacts the utility company to arrange to pay the bill. Welcome to the kingdom of God. A group of the congregation's women get together in a room at the church where there's a large quilting frame with a partially finished quilt stretched out over it. Their quilts will be sent to who knows where all around the globe to be distributed by missionaries along with the gospel of Jesus Christ to be a blessing to people who need both. Welcome to the kingdom of God. On Sunday morning, you line up in the center aisle and you come forward, and your King feeds you with his very own body and blood, taking your sins away from you, strengthening your faith, building you up in his image. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Our sermon series this Lent has been focusing on God's calling, and we first heard that calling on Ash Wednesday in the book of the prophet Joel. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. And we've seen in this series our own sinfulness reflected in the lives of people like those Old Testament Israelites with their half-hearted devotion to the Lord, or the disciples whose prayer life was so pitifully lacking, or Judas and Peter who betrayed and denied Jesus like we so often do with our words and our conduct. But we've also heard how God never gives up on us, but he continues to pursue us, encouraging us to turn from our sins and to return to him. And tonight the call goes out for us to return to the kingdom of God. And our readings tonight help us to consider exactly what that means for us. We hear the phrase, the kingdom of God, and we tend to imagine that it's a place, that maybe the kingdom of God is confined within the walls of the church, from which God does some of his most visible and his most obvious work. And certainly the kingdom of God is here, but certainly also it's not limited to these walls. Or perhaps we imagine that the kingdom of God follows the pastor around somehow, sort of a mobile kingdom that is centered on the things that God does through his called pastors or his teachers or his missionaries or deaconesses. And yet, that doesn't really seem quite right either, since we've all heard about pastors, for example, who have fallen into grave sin and who have embarrassed themselves and their congregations by their human failures. So, no, the kingdom can't be centered on the pastor. Or what if the kingdom of God is purely heavenly? Maybe the kingdom of God is all about that day when we will be in his presence and under his protection after we have moved on from this life to heaven. And yet, something's not quite right about that either, because Jesus said, right here on earth, he said, the kingdom of God is among you. Jesus broke into this world. He took our flesh upon himself. He died for our sins. And he did all of that right here on earth. You can still visit the places where he was born and where he walked and where he lived and died. And there's a clue here for us. That when Jesus came, the kingdom came with him. It must be that wherever Jesus is, amongst his people, there's the kingdom. Well, when the chief priests turned Jesus over to the Roman government that Friday morning, their intention is clear. This Jesus, this man, must die. Pilate did try to de-escalate the whole thing, but the Jewish leaders had backed him into a corner. So he brought Jesus in to his own place to try to get to the bottom of what was going on here. And he asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And this is no idle question. Pilate clearly understood what these chief priests were up to. And they had he had a pretty good idea of why Jesus had been turned over to him. So best, I guess, just to get right to the point, lay it all out there on the table, "Are you the king of the Jews?" But Jesus can't just answer a question like that, at least not if he hopes to be understood. You see, Pilate has a particular understanding of what it means to be a king, and Jesus just doesn't fit into any of Pilate's categories. So he could admit that he's a king, but Pilate would never understand that. He might think that Jesus is vying for political power, maybe that he's a threat somehow to Rome. Of course, he's not. Jesus is a king on a whole different plane. And so Jesus probes Pilate and he asks him, "Did you come up with this question on your own, or did somebody tell you to ask it?" Pilate is in no mood to play games with this man, so he says, "Listen, I'm not a Jew. And frankly, I don't really care who the king of the Jews might be or who might think he's the king of the Jews. But you rub somebody the wrong way and they turned you over to me. So it would be in your best interest to cooperate with me and help me to understand what all of this is about." But it's not that Jesus doesn't want to cooperate. It's that if he even tries to explain what he's doing there, Pilate will not understand. He will not understand why Jesus is truly standing there in front of him. And so he says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not a kingdom like anything you would ever imagine. If it were, my followers would be rioting in the streets, staging a coup. But they're not, because that's not the kind of kingdom of which I'm a king. My kingdom is something else entirely. My kingdom is something much, much bigger. My kingdom is something much more important." "So you are a king," Pilate says. And Jesus' answer is terrific. He says, "You say that I am a king," which is a little bit like saying, "Now you're starting to get it." But then Jesus goes on to explain that he is the kind of king who has come into this world to lead people to something more important than they have ever understood before. He has come to bear witness to the truth of God. And if you get it, you get it. "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice," he says. Well, that's when Pilate gives up on him. But you don't give up on him because you've heard his voice and you are of the truth. And even if you don't fully get it, perhaps, you do have some understanding. You understand that the kingdom of God is not about a geographical boundaries. You understand that the kingdom of God is not about a particular group of people. The kingdom of God is about Jesus. It's about the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's about a God who invites us, who forgives us, who renews us, who encourages us when life is hard, who builds us up. The kingdom of God is the gracious reign of Christ in the hearts and in the lives of his people. Wherever Christ is with his believing people, and wherever his people are assembled, he is there in their midst, and there is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "My kingdom is within you." The kingdom of God is in the hospital emergency room, waiting room, where there's a family praying together for somebody who's in trouble. The kingdom of God is in a drug treatment program where an addict who has hit rock bottom through the ministry of a chaplain comes to faith in Christ as his rescuer and his salvation. The kingdom of God is in the food pantry where Christ's people are working to care for the needs of other people. The kingdom of God is in the voters' meeting where the whole congregation gathers and they agree to take some bold steps in a new ministry of some kind. The kingdom of God is in the congregation of his people gathered together around the Word of God and around the sacraments to receive his gifts of life and of salvation and of forgiveness. The kingdom of God is in the home where parents and children are sharing a devotion together and a prayer. And tonight, God is calling you, all of us, to be a part of all of that. We say in the second article of the Apostles' Creed, in its meaning, in the small catechism, we say, all of this that Jesus did, that is, he redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. He purchased and won me from my sins, from death, from the power of the devil, with his holy, precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. All of this he did so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him. This is your call to play a role as the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world, to share his love with someone, both inside the church and outside the church. That is the kingdom to which God is calling you, brothers and sisters, to be subject to the one who has created you, to the one who has redeemed you at the cross, to the one who rose from the dead for you, to the one who sanctifies you to be a kingdom of his priests, to serve him, because he is the best king in all of creation. Let's pray. Empower me, Lord, as I live your commission, though humble my service may be, and bring every planting to perfect fruition, a mustard seed grown to a tree. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.